is Rosie, H-R-O-S-E-Y-H, 615 at gmail.com. My telephone number is 318-442-6011. Thank you. God bless.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. K-A-Y-T. Gina Alexandria.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
To the Ephesians that we heard on the Sunday school lesson this morning. Praise God, he wrote this letter, and unlike the church of Ephesus, who you learned from this morning, those who were on Bible study, that church did everything good. So all Paul had to do was talk to them about the doctrinal issues and then went on to tell them about how they need to live. Praise God, because if you read verses 1 through 3, he talks about doctrine. And then when he gets to chapter 4 all the way through chapter 6, he addresses what I call the behavior or the walk of the believer. And he culminates it with the fact that we are to put on the whole armor of God. Oh, yeah, that's what he did. Praise God. But to this church, he had to write to this church because there was a reason to write. Amen. You see, he wrote this letter to combat. He wrote this letter to refute, praise God, some extremely dangerous and threatening heresies. Praise God. I'm talking about some false teaching that was raising its ugly head in the church at Colossae. These heretics that were known as Gnostics, they attacked our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at every point. I'm not going to go into depth of what they did, but praise God, they were false teachers, and they attacked Jesus' supremacy. They attacked his deity. They attacked, praise God, his messiahship. They attacked his incarnation, saying, praise God, that God would never take on human flesh upon himself, because human flesh, according to the Gnostics, was something that was evil. Oh, I'm going somewhere, y'all. You see, they taught that Jesus only seemed to have a body. In other words, they were saying that Jesus came to earth only as a pure spiritual being, but we know better than that. Praise God. We know because of the Word of God. We know because of the Bible that he came to this earth as a full-grown man. Amen. Now, you know, he was born just like any other baby. Praise God. I didn't mean that he come out grown. Praise God. He came out as a child, walked, grew up, praise God, and we know that he became, after 33 years on this earth, actually stayed 33 and a half years, he became a grown man, and we know that he was a man. How do I know that he was a man? Because the word say he ate like a man. Praise God. They say he thirsted like a man. Praise God. Praise God. He bled like a man. Praise God. He wept like a man. Praise God. But not only that, he died just like a man. Yeah. You see, and as a result of their false teaching, some believers in the Colossian church began to stress soul over body. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, you do have a soul, but you also have a body. Praise God. You see, And since the soul was important to the Gnostics, praise God, the body didn't matter to them. Oh, yeah, go ahead, teach on, Pastor Martin. I'm going to get where I'm going. You see, in other words, one can do what he or she wishes with his or her body just so as he or she takes care of his or her body, his or her soul, by participating, praise God, in religious activities. Therefore, let me get you here, loose living became acceptable. It's almost as though the Gnostics are alive and well today. When Gnostics are some of what I call loose living, praise God. But that's not the point of my message, praise God. You see, God called us as believers to be witnesses to this world. We live in this world. We make our living in this world. We associate with people that's in this world. Therefore, we should give a responsible witness, praise God, of our faith to this world. Amen. And our faith should be guided by the principles of our lives. You see, through our very lives, we are what I call SFS. We are salespeople, praise God, for salvation. That's what we are, praise God. Every time we go somewhere, every time we are on display, we are selling something. Amen. I'm trying to help somebody here this morning. We are salespersons for salvation. So as we look at our text, Paul gives us some important insights as to what it means or what is involved to being a witness to this world. Praise God. Let me just share three of them with you. We're going to go home. Amen. Very first thing we find that our witness to this world involves our prayer life and our time in the world. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, neighbor. You must have a prayer life. Amen. You see, the first duty of the believer is to pray and continue in prayer. Amen. Now, I know that somebody out there saying, Pastor, how in the world you expect me to continue to pray with my busy schedule? I don't know who was asking that question, but I'm glad you asked. Yes, sir. Praise God. But you see, we must develop what I call an attitude of prayer. We must walk in the spirit of prayer. We must take a mental break from our work and spend a moment in prayer. Praise God. You see, prayer does not have to be long. Praise God. It's okay when you pray a long time, but it doesn't have to be long. Praise God. Can I tell you a short prayer? When Jesus bid Peter to come on the water, and as long as Peter had his eyes on Christ, he was, the Bible tells me, he was walking on top of the water. But when the waves start bursting, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. He said a short prayer. Lord, help me. Praise God. So your prayer don't have to be long to be effective. Amen. You see, your prayer, we have to develop an attitude of prayer. We have to learn that when we get up in the morning, please God, we ought to thank God for watching over us as we slumming and slept. How many of y'all have an idea how many airplanes fly over your house at night? Praise God. How many of y'all even have an idea? Praise God, so that when you go to bed at night, praise God, you ought to pray. Say, Lord, Praise God. Watch over me. Yes, praise God. Watch over my house. Yes, praise God. While I'm sleeping. You don't know what may go on with one of them aircraft up there, but guess what? When you get into the habit and get into the attitude of prayer, when you get up in the morning, you're going to thank God for the things that he did. And when you get ready to get in that bed at night, you're going to say, Lord, you protected me throughout the day. You looked over me, praise God, while I was riding up the dangerous highway. So I want to give you some thanks before I lay down, praise God. And even throughout the day, praise God, you want to be praying. Amen. I tell people oftentimes when they see me walking around this building in the daytime, Deacon Robinson has snuck up on me a couple of times. Several other people have saw me walking around this building. When I, on my way home and I stop, I walk around this building, I'm praying. Praise God. Then I'll come inside and sometime I'll pray, praise God, because I know how the enemy works. Praise God. And I know that prayer is an effective weapon. Praise God. So we must pray all the time. And that's Bible. Praise God. Matthew's records the words of Jesus at Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, when he says, ask and it shall be given unto you. He says, seek and ye shall find. He said, knock and the door shall be open. You see all of that seeking and all of that asking and all of that knocking. I ain't talking about nothing but prayer. Praise God. So we must have a prayer life. And if this prayer life, praise God, Paul writes at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, he said, let your requests be made known unto God. You see, Paul knew the importance of prayer. And I'll say again, praise God, to be an effective witness, we must pray. Especially when we look at what Paul asks of the Colossian church. Amen. You see, Paul did not ask to be released from jail. Y'all know he was locked up, right? He didn't release to be released from jail. He didn't ask, praise God, for a not guilty verdict. Amen. He didn't ask that his life end in peace. You want to know what Paul was praying and asking while he was locked up in that jail? Praise God. Verse 3 and 4 gives you the clue. Look what he said. First of all, he was asking for another opportunity to witness. Look what verse 3 says. He says, praise God, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of God. In other words, he said, I'm not worried about my own condition, but I want to have another opportunity, praise God, to witness unto you. I don't care if you allow me to witness to one of those jailers. I don't care if you allow me to witness to one of those Roman soldiers, but give me the opportunity, praise God, just to witness. That was one thing. But then again, he asked for boldness in his witnessing. If you look at verse number 4, he says, that I may make it, that it means his witnessing, manifest, praise God, as I ought to speak. In other words, he knew, praise God, that prayer is important. He wanted to have that boldness to speak. Praise God. A lot of us sometimes want to say something for God, but we don't have that spiritual intestinal fortitude. It's better known as backbone. Praise God. We need to ask God to give us the backbone, praise God, so that when we walk up to somebody who may look mean to us, praise God, we could tell them that for God you shall live, and it's for God that you shall die. Praise God, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So prayer is important. But praise God, you see, we too should use our time in this world and use it